Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Women's Soccer Zone, where we will be reviewing the recent Rio Olympics. We're now a few days since the completion of the competition, and of course congratulations to Germany, who won their very first gold medal. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend out in the United States, JJ Duke. JJ, how you doing, mate? Rio is over, but for you and I and all the other fans who watch it, the NWSL, and for, well, many other leagues as well, the FAWSL, due to kick off again in the coming days.
Yes, that, and also NCAA college soccer is back upon us, which means I have a job again. So life is very good.
Good stuff, and we'll certainly talk about that in the coming weeks. And we are joined out in Sweden by Linda Eriksson. Linda, so close, but yet so far for the Swedes, but a very proud nation after their silver medal, I'm sure.
Yes, definitely. Very proud.
Good stuff, good stuff. Well, we're going to have a chat about the game, the gold medal match between Germany and Sweden. We'll obviously, of course, talk about Canada against Brazil, the bronze medal match. Of course, it was the Canadians that surprised many by winning a second bronze medal in a row. And we will reveal our predictions, which we made before the tournament. We set up an email address, which none of us have looked at over the course of the tournaments. This is the first time that we will be finding out who each other has predicted. We've got JJ's, Linda's, myself, and we've also got our friend Anthony Resch from Futdel, and of course our German correspondent Jasmina Schweimer. Unfortunately, they were unable to join us on the call, but we will reveal their predictions as well. So after this short break, we will crack on with reviewing the gold medal match between Germany and Sweden.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSOZone.
So, welcome back. Of course, the last few days, Rio was completed, but there was a gold medal for Germany and a gold medal for Sylvia Nide. The completion of the accolades for Sylvia Nide now has a World Cup, European Championship titles, and an Olympic gold medal. Linda, I'll come to you in a minute for a Swedish perspective, but JJ, nice way for Sylvia Nide to go out, and I think in the end, Germany, as we saw with the United States in the World Cup last year, got better and better throughout the competition and deserved winners on the night, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was a match that really had all the billings of a beautifully flowing game of football. I mean, there was action at both ends nonstop. I had to actually re-watch the game, really, to kind of get some of the finer points of it, but look, I mean, both teams went at it. They knew, and unlike, I guess, other major competitions where, you know, you have that the winner, everyone wants to win the top prize. Well, you get a pretty good prize for finishing second, too, so it's not one of those moments where, you know, if you lose, okay, you're billed as the loser. You're an Olympic champion. You're a silver medalist. There is nothing wrong with that. So, you know, I think that match, very open. I was a little surprised even how open it was, but yeah, Germany just, you said it perfectly. They started off kind of lackluster. They hit rock bottom, but boy, when the time came that they had to put it all together, they did.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, for anyone that was hiding under a rock and didn't see the game, it was the Germans that came out 2-1. And one of the things that we've said throughout the competition and when we recorded shows after each round, we were both saying, and I think many agreed with us, we were waiting for Jennifer Marajan to really burst onto the scene and grab a game by the scruff of the neck. And when it really mattered, she showed up big time in the final, and that first goal, what a beauty.
I mean, they always say the big players grab the spotlight. So, yeah, this was one of the matches that, you know, people are going to remember 5 years from now. They're going to be talking about Marajan's curling ball lifted right over Lindahl. No chance there. And then the free kick, a bit unfortunate for Sembrant. She kind of made a little bit of a mess of it. But even still, you know, what are you going to do when you have a ball that comes off the post? It could go anywhere. So she was all over spreading the ball, putting her head down and running forward and taking on challengers, creating a little bit, and obviously she was the dictator to the offense.
Yeah, Linda, I'll come over to you. We'll talk about the silver medal and what it means for Swedish football and the women's national team, but we know that Sweden received some heavy criticism in some of the matches leading up to this. They played a very defensive game against both the United States and Brazil, won both games on penalties, and I think Many expected them to play a very similar style against Germany, but perhaps it was the fact that they played 120 minutes in the two previous games and they certainly weren't interested or keen to go into a third match in a row. They started really well, didn't they? And for the first 15-20 minutes, they were the better team.
Yeah, I think we were all pleasantly surprised how well Sweden opened the game and that they really went into the game to win, and not by defending, but by scoring goals.
Were you surprised that Stina Blackstenius didn't start? She'd done previously in the few games beforehand really well, scored the goal against the United States, had been a good target player alongside Lotte Schelin up front. Didn't start the game, they went with Sofia Jakobsen instead.
Yeah, a little bit. But I can see why you would choose Sofia Jakobsen instead. She's more experienced, she has played against Germany a number of times. So I understand the decision, but yeah, I was a bit surprised too.
And some early misses before Germany got their first goal. How important do you think they were? How important do you think it was that Sweden got that early goal, which might have changed the game a little bit?
Yeah, obviously, you know, you'd say the first goal changes the game in some ways. And when Germany got 2-0, I thought, well, this is game over. So it was a huge surprise, really, when Blackstenius scored that goal, and that Sweden were kind of fighting until the end to get a draw and take the game to extra time. But I think that's why the Swedish people are so proud and happy with the silver medal, that you could really see the team's fighting spirit, and they were playing well and almost got there.
I wrote an article in the lead up to the final and said that Sweden should be respected and not vilified for the performances they put in, and they almost came into the final as almost like the pantomime villains of the competition. Do you think the way they played in that final maybe won a few doubters over? They probably had a few people that maybe had fallen out of love with them a little bit after the performances in some of the earlier games, but the way they played against Germany, the way they fought so bravely right to the end, do you feel maybe they won a few fans over that they may have lost earlier on?
I hope so. I mean, I hope they showed that they played defensively for a reason. It was to get to that final, and once they reached the final, they were able to play really well and not play so-called boring defensive football.
No, absolutely. And I think they deserve credit for the way that they came out. JJ, I mean, I mentioned earlier, it could have been different had Sweden got that early goal, had a couple of early chances that weren't taken. Germany had theirs as well, didn't they? There was the Melanie Leupold's header that went narrowly over the bar, but I think the one that stands out in people's mind, Anja Mittag, how many times out of 100 is she going to miss an opportunity like that?
2 out of 100, maybe. That might be a little bit glorified. I mean, I want to touch on the point that you had earlier. You know, we've talked about this with, you know, you're calling the Sweden tactics in the prior matches up to the final being, you know, playing that villain type and playing defensive-minded, boring soccer. Again, this is a results business. If you don't get results, then where are you going to be? Or where are you going to be? I'm 100% still behind what Sweden did to get to that point. And I think, you know, in that final stage, what did they have to lose by losing that match? Nothing. I mean, they're already guaranteed a medal, so you might as well go for it. Both teams, yeah, they needed to be a little more, or you would have hoped that they're more clinical in their finishing. You big stage for both teams, haven't experienced that big of a match in quite a long time, so you know, you expect a little bit of shaky and nervy moments in there. I think honestly, yeah, Mittag is a bit surprising that she missed, but Leupolz, I've seen her finish those chances off more often than not. I thought that was the real moment after Sweden had that very strong first phase of the match and figured that they were going to get there first. Germany finally woke up. But yeah, I was a bit surprised that we didn't get a goal until the second half, to be really fair. I thought that there were enough chances from both sides that you figured either it's going to be a mistake by the goalkeeper or just good quality finishing. But yeah, no, very, very shaky.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Interesting there what I think JJ said earlier about Marushan's goal and how it was not possible for Lindahl to get it. Lindahl, Sweden's goalkeeper, was incredibly disappointed after the game in her own performance and said she should have taken that goal.
I don't think she could. I think if you watch it back, she has dived at full stretch, and I'm actually surprised by that. I do think Hedvig, the occasion maybe got to her a little bit. We saw her spill a few shots. We obviously, the one where Mittag missed the absolute sitter, that came as a result of a shot that she spilled from Leonie Meyer. She wasn't at her brilliant best, and I still, for me, she was the best goalkeeper in the competition alongside Lydia Williams. But she wasn't at her best, but I don't think she could have got to that shot.
And I think, you know, speaking from someone who did play goalkeeper at a somewhat of a higher competitive level, look, you can be in a zone for a long period of time, but eventually, you know, one, it isn't even like, you know, letting in a goal that can break that focus, but, you know, having a less perfect of a crisp touch or distributing a ball to exactly where you want it, that kind of breaks up that little bit of a flow. And then, you know, they say when one domino falls, usually they all fall afterwards. Well, you know, I'm not saying that for Lindahl. You know, her positioning in that tournament, that's the one thing that really benefited her in Sweden, was her positioning. She was spot on in both the U.S. match and the Brazil match. And that was the main reason why she got to a bunch of those saves. I think for the goal for Marijan, it was just placed perfectly enough that even if she was positioned perfectly, it would have taken a tremendous effort for her to even put that onto the bar, let alone save it. So I know she'll be disappointed, obviously, but yeah, you know, it's just one of those things that luck eventually, well, not so much luck, but just standing on your head for that long, it comes to an end.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, no, I completely agree. I don't think Hedvig Lindahl has too much to be disappointed about with that goal. I think we all agree. Absolute stunner from Jennifer Marijan. I don't really think there's anything else to discuss on the match. I mean, I guess, Linda, I'd round it off with you. I mean, this was a silver medal for Sweden. It was their first medal at an Olympic Games. It's their best ever finish at an Olympic Games. What do you think it means moving forward? No one tipped them to medal before the tournament. They came into it with I wouldn't say terrible form, because they've been doing well in the European Championship qualifiers. They obviously qualified through the mini tournament, but we saw how poor they were at the World Cup. But they've come away with a silver medal, and that's something for them to be proud of and to build on, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think the Swedish people were expecting them to do quite well in this tournament, but a medal was not expected at all. I would say we were quite disappointed in the beginning of the tournament with the poor performances, but to get a silver medal and be so close to the gold medal, an incredible performance. Sweden has not gotten a silver medal in, I think, 13 years. So everyone was really proud, and the Swedish team got a massive celebration in Stockholm when they returned. That was televised, and there were thousands of people praising them.
Brilliant. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I saw Kosovari Aslani post a picture meeting the Prime Minister as well. So,
yeah
certainly received very well, and they deserve that. And, of course, congratulations to them. And congratulations to Germany. Sylvia Knight going out on a high. Saskia Bartusiak announced her international retirement this week as well. So a great career for her, and a great way to go out. And a nice touch, I will finish, a nice touch by Anja Mittag to hold up Simone Laudere's shirt on the podium, because obviously she missed the tournament, or the majority of the tournament, after suffering that bad injury in the first game against Zimbabwe. So nice that she was recognised for her contribution, even though it was very short. So we'll round off that game. After the break, we will focus on the bronze medal match between Canada and the hosts, Brazil.
Women's Soccer Zone would like to thank our partners, She Kicks Magazine. Subscribe at shekicks.net for even more women's football.
So welcome back, guys. As we saw, it was a win for Canada, same scoreline as the gold medal match, 2-1, beating the host Brazil. JJ, I'll come to you first. Great result for Canada, wasn't it? Again, much like Sweden, I don't think many people had the Canadians medaling, and they were able to match their achievements of 2012 in London.
Well, it's funny also when we talk about it, form for some teams got better throughout the tournament. I think Canada just stayed on a pretty even keel high from start to finish, and they finished that tournament with the best record, 5 wins and just that unfortunate 1 loss for them, and the match that if they wanted the gold, they couldn't lose. It was interesting because, you know, I went out and predicted saying that Brazil, albeit while they're tired, while they're fatigued, and obviously very disappointed for the fact that they weren't going to be playing for a gold, I thought they're still going to be motivated. The crowd was going to be behind them, which they were, and, you know, kind of find that extra energy, because who wants to, at that point, you know, you put in all that work, you let all the emotion hang loose, who doesn't want to go home without a medal? No one does. And unfortunately for them, you know, Canada just continued to do what they were doing, sometimes a little more defensive, sometimes hitting on the counter, and sometimes just playing really good soccer. I mean, we can obviously, and we have before, raved about John Herdman and what he has done to that program. You know, you can look at it right now and say two teams that are going to be a force come 2019. One's going to be Australia. I think that's pretty fair to say. I think Canada has really put themselves to now being a strong contender and possibly a favorite to win that tournament just because of the turnaround that they have made in the past 4 years and just the confidence that they have on the field.
Yeah, and we saw in that win goals from the past, the present, and, well, from one player who's been a big part of the past and the present, and another one who's going to be a big part of the future, Christine Sinclair scoring at the, you know, the back end of her career, I think that's fair to say, and Deanne Rose, 17 years old, scored the opener, and what a moment for her. You know, number one to get the start, but number two to score that goal. I think that shows, and we've spoken about it throughout the competition, haven't we, that blend of youth and experience. If ever there was an example of getting it right from John Herdman, it was in that game, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I know you and I had a little bit of banter before the match, you know, just on direct messaging. We're confused for some of the decisions that John Herdman made in that match. Why is he putting Deanne Rose, a 17-year-old who hasn't had a whole lot of opportunities, you know, at that big stage? You could go with experience. But this almost kind of parallels back to that match that they played against the U.S. in the CONCACAF Olympic qualifying, the final. He played basically almost that exact same team. And they were very close to beating the U.S. on that day. What, 8 months later or 7 months later, they go out and they win a medal. I think that just really proves how much confidence that he has in that team. I think Rose was brilliant in that match. And then when you have Janine Becky coming off the bench, who's another highly touted youth product for that team, who's, you know, they say, and I think a lot of us believe after her performance in this tournament, that she's going to be the next great Canadian striker. You know, there's a lot of weapons that he has at his disposal. And, oh, by the way, they've got another 3 years and another 4 or 5 extra roster spots to use for that World Cup team. They're going to be very tough to beat in France in a couple of years from now.
Yeah, certainly lots of potential and lots of promise for that Canadian side. Linda, 2013, Sweden hosted the Euros, so you will have seen firsthand recently what it is like to host a major competition. You will also know what it's like, unfortunately, to come away empty-handed in terms of medals. Brazil, I think for many, they would have expected this team to have at least come away with a top three finish. They fell marginally short. Based on your experiences of having watched Sweden in 2013, what will Brazilian fans be going through at the moment?
I mean, obviously some disappointment. What I'm most disappointed about is hearing that the Brazilian Federation is now considering cutting their funding to the Brazilian women's team. They're not going to succeed if they don't receive funding for an extended period of time. And to just invest some money in them for a brief period of time before a tournament at home isn't enough. It's not that surprising that they didn't get a medal because they haven't had support for a long time, like countries, well, like Sweden or Germany or the United States.
No, completely agree. And I think there is some confusion over that, isn't there? There was an article that came out saying that the Brazilian Federation are thinking about cutting the funding. Then I saw another one that a friend of mine retweeted. I think it was today or yesterday that that's nonsense and they are going to be continuing their funding. But either way, the fact that there is confusion over that after a fourth place finish, that's ridiculous, isn't it? Like you say, they need to be able to build on this. We saw players like Marta, who is only 30, she's still got tournaments left in her. We know that Formiga has announced her international retirement and what a career she's had. But we saw some young players like Beatrice come through, didn't we? And we saw established players like Fabiana and Dabinia come through and really show up as well. And they need to build on that, don't they? And I guess we've seen what Sweden have been able to achieve off the back of 2013. They've now got a silver medal in their hand 3 years later. In 3 years' time now, we have the World Cup. Who's to say Brazil, with the right investment, couldn't follow suit?
Exactly, yeah.
JJ, you know, I wonder what your view is on Brazil. We saw a lot of them, probably not at their best. They would probably admit that over the course of the competition. But fourth place finish is no disgrace, but they will be massively disappointed not to have given their home fans a medal.
It's no disgrace, but at the same time, Kieran, it's kind of almost like same story, different chapter. Unfortunately, I mean, you look at their performances over the last how many major tournaments now where they're this close, but they just can't make that final hurdle. And I still think it almost comes back to, you know, if one little thing goes wrong, then it really almost everything goes wrong for them. They don't have that, you know, even keel approach to their game. It's either going to be high octane, everybody playing that beautiful flowing football that, you know, we all want to see played by everybody, whether it's attainable or not. And then you have the other side, you're just having bickering on the field, players gesturing at each other, some trying to do too much, others not doing enough. And how many tournaments now we're seeing Brazil go out, whether it's disappointingly early or where they don't come away with anything? And I think really, you know, that's where it kind of leads into this whole discussion of the Brazilian Federation either cutting their funding or only having it a part-time program, or even, you know, I read one rumor, and I'm pretty sure it's false, but I did see something saying that they're just going to cut the program indefinitely. I hope that it's not that case, and I hope it's, you know, something that doesn't become like in Argentina, for example, in their women's program, where they haven't played a competitive match in, what, 3 years now? You know, you can't have that, because then you just kill any chance of development. They need to go on and continue on what they're doing. I'm not sure 18-month residency camps are going to get the job done. I think you have to find that, you know, medium and maybe get a few more friendlies at home. Because we saw the support. The support's there now, at least from the fans. You know, hopefully, maybe if they could get a few more matches at home, you know, they can build on that. But that's going to really come down to if the Federation wants it.
Yeah, 18-month residency camps. And let's see some of those players playing in top leagues. Like we've got, you know, Marta playing in Sweden. We've got Andressa and Poliana playing, you know, in the NWSL. We need more of those players playing week in, week out. The number of friendlies that Brazil play just isn't enough, and the number of international matches that they play just isn't enough. And if they keep going the way they are going to keep falling short, as you said. It was disappointing. I think many expected them to medal. Many wanted them to medal, I think, when you look at players like Marta and Christiane and Formiga, who have been in that team for so long and have been deprived of that kind of victory that so many people expect of them, and to be able to have done it in front of their home supporters, as we saw with the men's team, would have been, I don't think they could have topped that. I genuinely don't. Winning a gold medal in front of your home supporters in an Olympic Games. I don't think they would ever have topped that if they'd achieved that. But alas, outdone by a very good Canada side. Completely agree with what you said. That is a team to look out for over the coming years. Lots of young players. Some players coming towards the end of their career. But genuinely, I think it's a really, really good time for Canadian football. And on another day, it may well have been them that was playing in that gold medal match. But fair play to Canada. Lots of work to do for Brazil. We'll wrap that one up there. And when we come back, we will talk about some of our highlights of the tournament. And then we will reveal our predictions that we made before the competition had started.
Women's Soccer Zone. It's all about the players.
So welcome back, guys. Before we go into the big reveal of our predictions, I just wanted to ask very quickly, what was the highlight of the competition for you? And I'll start with you, Linda.
My highlight has to be the USA game for Sweden to have played so poorly. I had honestly completely disregarded Sweden as a team who would move on from the quarterfinals, and for them to come out and play so well and actually get a win was really a nice surprise for me.
JJ?
We talked about this a couple of episodes ago, and I know this is going to crush our Australian listeners. I still think that Brazil-Australia match might have been the match of the tournament, to be perfectly honest. That was fun to watch, and it would have probably been more fun to witness in person. And unfortunately, there had to be a loser in that match, and even worse, it was a team that went home. But I think that 120 minutes might have been the best soccer or football that we saw throughout that entire tournament, despite it being goalless and despite it going to, what, 9 or 10 rounds of penalties.
Yeah, no, I agree with that being the match of the tournament. I think the highlight for me, I don't know how much you guys got to see of other sports, but there was a common theme across a lot of sports out in Rio that stadiums were half empty. You watch the athletics, the stadium was half empty. You watch some of the other sports, the stadium was half empty. Now, I'm in no way saying that the women's football had full stadiums, because we know that it didn't. But when it did have full stadiums, it was the Brazil team playing. And for me, that was a massive, massive positive, because it showed that the nation was behind the team. It shows that there is an interest in the team. We saw people scrubbing out Neymar's name on the back of their jersey and replacing it with Marta's. I thought that was, although a little bit odd, and probably more of a protest against the men's team than it was being favourites, sort of favouriting the women's team, I saw that as being a positive as well. And to see those packed stadiums full of yellow shirts, for me, that was a huge positive. And they, as we already said, they don't get to see that team a huge amount of times. And for people to really turn up and to get behind their team, that was a massive plus for me. And I hope that we can see that more in the future. So I guess we move on, guys. And it is time to reveal our predictions. Now, I know that JJ let slip on one of the previous shows who his gold medal winner was, so he's got some serious bragging to do before we kick off.
Oh, yes.
We'll go through. So we've got predictions. I asked the guys to make predictions before the competition had started, and we sent them into an email address that we set up that none of us accessed until this evening. Now, we've got predictions from JJ, from Linda. We've got them from Anthony Resch at Footdel. And as I said, we've got them from Jasmina Schweimler, our German correspondent. So I guess if we go through them bit by bit and reveal everyone's answers or their predictions, we can see who's probably come out in terms of bragging rights on top. So let's start off with how we thought the gold, silver and bronze medalists would finish. And I'm quite happy to start with myself, and I'm quite happy to admit that I've got it horribly wrong. So I went with a gold, silver and bronze of Brazil winning gold, the United States winning silver and France winning bronze. So I have got 0 out of 3 in terms of who is going to finish where.
You're killing it, Karen.
JJ has gold medal winner Germany. So here's your chance to brag.
Just let the goal horn come on over, folks.
I don't even know what that means, but okay, fair enough.
That was a ice hockey goal horn.
Okay. All right. Remember, a British person over here doesn't watch ice hockey. Silver, United States of America, and bronze. And bronze, Australia, although you have got over Canada. So you were very close, but that's one out of three for you. So I'll move on to Anthony, our friend at Futdel. He went with gold medal USA, silver medal Brazil, and bronze medal of France with victory against Germany. So that is zero out of three for Anthony. Linda, we move on to you. Mm-hmm. And you join me on zero out of three. And Anthony, yes, on zero out of three, because you went gold medal USA, silver medal France, and bronze medal Brazil.
It's so pretty close with the bronze medal.
Pretty close. Yeah, I'll give you that one. I'm the one that's failed the most out of this, I think. Jasmina went gold medal United States, silver medal Germany, and bronze medal France. So while she hasn't got it in the right order, she has got one of the medalists in there. So I guess she can have half a point for that, and there is an opportunity to do a little bit of bragging there. So, next category. I asked the guys to predict the top scorer of the tournament. Now, there's a theme here for me, because obviously I was expecting Brazil to do well with winning a gold medal. I went top scorer of Marta. Now, I think Marta ended up with two goals in the competition, so she fell short. Top scorer for JJ, Jennifer Marijan, who got one goal in the tournament. So that was a failure on you. It was a big goal. It was probably the biggest goal of the tournament. Anthony Resch has gone for Christiane, who I think maybe got one in the competition.
Two.
Got two in the competition. Thanks, Linda. Linda, you went for Christine Sinclair.
Yes.
Not a bad shout, that one. Let's be honest, no one went Melanie Behringer. Not a single person. Not one pundit would have gone for Melanie Behringer. And Jasmina went for Crystal Dunn. So, interesting one from Jasmina there. So, none of us got that one right. But let's be honest, as I said, no one would have gone for Melanie Behringer, who ended up with five goals as the tournament top scorer. So, we move on. Player of the tournament. Now, I don't know if there's been an official announcement, guys. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I haven't seen anything.
But I don't think they do one.
No, I don't think they do either. But would I be right in thinking we're pretty unanimous that Melanie Behringer was player of the tournament?
Yeah. I'm good with that.
Linda?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really hard to pick a player.
It is. I don't personally think there was a huge standout player or performance in the tournament. I think there were a number of players who had standout games, but I don't think there was anyone that really had a major, major tournament. But I think if there was...
If Sweden won, I think Lindahl would have probably taken it unanimously.
Agreed. Okay, so player of the tournament, continuing the Brazilian theme, I went Marta, who I think did have a good tournament, and I think she was Brazil's best player. So I will take some gloating in that, but not enough, because obviously she wasn't player of the tournament. So JJ, you went Tobin Heath.
Yeah, I got that one completely wrong.
Yeah, I would say that as well.
Yep.
Anthony went Marta as well, so he joined me in going with the Brazilian theme. Linda, you went Marta as well.
Yep.
So there's a theme and some agreement there. Jasmina went Jennifer Marijan. So she got the final goal scorer in terms of picking her player of the tournament. But few votes there for Marta. But as I said, I think we unanimously agree it was probably Melanie Behringer. So two more categories to go. The next one was young star of the tournament. Now I went Mallory Pugh. It's a difficult one because USA went out earlier than many of us expected. Before, I guess, I review or reveal the others, would we agree that Janine Becky would probably be the young player of the tournament?
I agree, but I also think Stina Blackstenius, because Becky scored three goals and was excellent at the group stage, but Blackstenius really showed up in the semifinals and the gold medal game.
JJ?
Yeah, I'm kind of... That's one that I kind of want to look back on, because has there ever really been a true definition of a, quote, young player? Is there, like, an actual age line? Because if we're talking, like, 23, 24, then I'd be like, well, you can almost look at half the German team and say, well, they might have a shout in there. Is there an act, and I'm being serious, is there an actual hard cut line for, like, you know, for a World Cup?
Well, I guess the for the men's team, they have it as an under-23 tournament. So I guess I would use that as your line. I would say that any player under the age of 23 would be considered a young player.
Yeah, that makes it tough.
It does make it tough. It does make it tough. I mean, I consider Janine Becky a young player. I consider Mallory Pugh a young player. I think you're right. I think the lines are blurred. It's a grey area. But I went Mallory Pugh. So I'm not really sure that she would have won Young Player of the Tournament if there was a competition for that, because the USA went out earlier than expected. JJ, you went Mallory Pugh. Linda, you went Mallory Pugh.
No, I did not.
No, you didn't. Sorry. No, you didn't. My apologies. It was Anthony that went Mallory Pugh.
Yeah.
Linda, you went...
with Greer Jembock.
Yeah, you went with Greer Jembock.
I was kind of thinking France would make it to the final.
Yeah, so you went...
She has been massive for mm-hmm. Lyon.
So Greer Jembock, of course, the French central defender. And Jasmina went with Mallory Pugh. So four votes there for Mallory Pugh, one for Greer Jembock. I would probably say that both had decent tournaments, but I think we are in agreement that it was probably Janine Becky and Stina Blackstenius that were the two players that really stood out. Now, the last one, this was a shot in the dark, because I just wanted to see how close or how ridiculous our predictions would be. So the last thing that I asked the guys to pick was the number of goals scored in the whole tournament. There were 26 matches. Now, I didn't get a chance to look up the number, but Linda, thankfully you did. And you said it was 68?
66.
66, right. Okay. 66 goals scored in 26 matches. I was horrendously optimistic. I went with 86.
Whoa.
Who says there needs to be defense?
Exactly. JJ, I'm going to allow you to gloat on this one as well, mate. 65. One goal out. One goal out from getting it absolutely spot on. If Stina Blackstenius doesn't score in the final to bring it back to 2-1, you get it spot on, mate.
Woo! Gotta love it.
So one out. Very impressive. Very, very impressive. Anthony went with a defensive tournament by the looks of it, because he went with 45. So he wasn't even expecting two goals a game, which is quite low when you look back on it. Linda, 68.
Yep,
so you were very close as well. But I'm going to let you guys have the bragging rights on that one, because that is very, very close as well. That is impressive. Jasmina was even more optimistic than I was. She went with 90.
Oh,
so she went with 90 goals, and I went with 86. I was expecting some high-scoring games. As the later rounds came around, it didn't really happen. But JJ, I think you've got to take the bragging rights, mate. You're the only one that got an answer absolutely spot on with predicting that Germany would win the gold medal. You both deserve to take some credit and do some gloating in terms of the number of goals. JJ, you were one out. Linda, you were two out. That is impressive, and I will be going to hide under a rock and not appearing until the European Championships occur in the Netherlands next year, when I can try and redeem myself. But, I mean, a great tournament. I think I personally, and it is biased of me, I would probably say I preferred London 4 years ago. I think there was probably more drama. But I thought Rio served up a good tournament. I don't know what you guys think overall. JJ, I'll start with you.
I mean, in comparison to the others, I think 11 of the 12 teams put really good efforts. I mean, I'm not going to knock on Zimbabwe, but here's me not knocking on them. I mean, it's just one of those things where we're going to have... There's always going to be a minnow, but I think outside of that, I think maybe, if anything, as competitive of a tournament that we've seen in the Olympics. And I think that almost kind of carries over nicely from 2015. We expanded it to 24 in the World Cup. A lot of those teams that in the past may not have been there were maybe overlooked a little bit in that tournament, and they were pretty competitive. So, you know what? I think it's a overall, in my opinion, it's a win for women's football.
Linda?
Yeah, I completely agree with both of you. The Olympics were better in some sense. I have better memories from that. I was able to watch all the games, which I wasn't this time because of time zones and TV rights and whatever. So I think I've barely seen half the games, but it was a really competitive tournament. This time around, there were some surprising results. So, yeah, a win for women's football in that sense.
Yeah, and when I say I preferred London, that is massively biased on my part because obviously I was able to watch virtually the whole competition. It was the first Olympics, by my own admittance, that I'd watched from start to finish. And I just felt that maybe London stood out a little bit more. But that is not to say I did not enjoy Rio. As I said, I thought the fact that the Brazilian supporters got behind their country was a massive bonus. I thought it was highly competitive, as you guys have both said. There was very few blowouts in there. The only blowouts that there were the games that we probably expected them to be. I guess the big surprise of the competition was the Brazil victory over Sweden by 5-1. In the end, that really didn't matter. We saw young players come to the forefront, the likes of Janine Becky and Stina Blackstenis. I thought Fridolin Arolfo did well before she suffered her injury. And I guess there's plenty to build on, you know. We've got the next one in Tokyo in 2020. We all agree that there are teams like Canada who've got a lot of young players who will have experience of major competitions going into that tournament. Australia, we expect to do well in the coming tournaments. And my biggest hope for 2020 is that we see Team GB there. It was a massive shame that we didn't see Team GB. Linda, let's be honest, Sweden shouldn't have even been there, but they come away with a silver medal, which makes it all the more sweet. But I do hope that Team GB can be there in 2020. Of course, they have to qualify for it, but if they do qualify, I really do hope that we see them there because those players have been deprived a massive opportunity to be down in Rio. But guys, I really, really appreciate your time over the course of the competition and, you know, some late nights doing these recordings and some late nights watching the games. And of course, to the listeners as well, really appreciate you tuning in. That's it for the Rio Olympics. That's it for our shows covering the Rio Olympics. When we come back next week, we will be going back to our usual routine of covering the WSL and the NWSL. And we'll get Linda on a lot more than we have done to cover the Damallsvenskan because that is looking really good. And there's a battle there between Rosengard and Linköping. And loads more. There's always stuff going on. And of course, we'll bring you some player interviews because we haven't had any of those for a few weeks. So thank you very much for tuning in. Of course, as always, if you want to contact us, we're on Twitter, on @WosoZone. Email us on wosozone@gmail.com. And always listen to the show on iTunes or audioboom.com/WosoZone. So until next time, take care of yourselves and bye-bye.